Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. Welcome, teenagers, to the house of God. Take your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Lord willing, and I believe the Lord is willing, that I finish this tonight. We've been looking at one passage of Scripture. If you're visiting with us, or maybe you've missed a time or two on Wednesday night, we're looking at one verse basically, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Would you stand with me? Let's read it one more time. This time we're going to all read it together. When we read together, please remember we're going to pause at punctuation marks. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11. Ready? Read with me. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And we've been talking about the last few Wednesday nights about growing beyond childish behavior or immature Christian behavior. Many times our behavior before other believers within the church or even outside the church reflects where we are in our Christianity and what level of maturity that we have arrived at. And so I want to finish this thing up tonight as we look at where Paul said, I thought as a child. Father, would you bless our time together in this service tonight? Would you encourage our hearts about what you would have for us? We pray that you'd use us in a great way, and we'll give all the glory and we'll give all the praise to Jesus. For it's in his wonderful name we ask all of these things tonight. Amen. You can be seated. Let me again refresh your memory. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. Remember, we've learned that when children speak, many times they speak what's on their mind. That is not a good thing, because many times what's on my mind, I don't need to be speaking to other people and toward other people. So many times when a person just speaks their mind, in other words, they speak and then worry about the consequences later, is usually not a sign of maturity in the Christian life. Many times they'll say things and use improper language. A child sometimes will speak rudely about his authority in private. And so we talked about those types of things. We also last week covered together, Paul said, not only did when I was a child did I speak as a child, he said, I understood as a child. You know, a child does not have perfect understanding, and many times they make decisions on the level of their understanding, which sometimes is not always a good thing. So we talked a little bit about the understanding of a child, about their perception or the ability for them to comprehend the significance of things. Remember, we talked about that many times a child puts little importance on responsibility. Time means nothing to a kid. You know, hey, if we're there on time, fine. If we're not there on time, fine. Well, you know what, folks? Usually a sign of immaturity in our Christian life is when we're not there on time and we're not where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. And everybody said, amen. Okay? If you don't believe that, ask your boss tomorrow and see if he expects you to be on time. All right? He didn't expect it. He demands it. And so it's just a sign of immaturity. You say, preacher, how can I get beyond that? Set your clock forward or backwards a little bit and get yourself in the habit of being on time. All right? And so many times a child doesn't put much responsibility or the importance of responsibility. We talked about that a child toys with danger ignorantly. Remember, I used a couple of illustrations last week. And so many times a person that is immature in their Christianity, a lot of times will toy with the dangers of the world. And many times they get bit. And many times they fall into a trap because they do it ignorantly. And so anyway, those are some things that we talked about last week. Now, let me start off tonight, church, if I could, by just simply saying that we've covered the understanding of a child. We've covered the speech of a child. And all three of these are marks that we can use to pretty much accurately gauge where we are in our growth process in our Christian life. Now, Let me say something about the Christian life. It's one of those unique things to where you can actually grow in the Lord and reach some maturity and then backslide and literally digress back and in your Christian life. And just because a person gets saved doesn't mean they're born mature. I was up at the hospital today, saw that sweet little baby girl that God gave Brother and Mrs. Green. That baby was born a baby. Okay? It was born a very small infant. Now, it will grow over the process of time. But it wasn't born an adult. And just because we got saved didn't mean that we have all knowledge and all understanding. You see, the whole goal here that Paul is talking about is that we might put away childish things. In other words, we need to put away immature speaking. We need to put away immature understanding. In other words, acting on something without collecting all the facts. Has that ever got anybody in trouble besides me? Acting without collecting all the facts? And then you say, well, boy, I really put my foot in my mouth that time. So be careful about those types of things. So Paul says, I want us to get beyond immature speaking, immature understanding, and then he says, I want us to get beyond immature thinking. Now, obviously, speaking, understanding, thinking immaturely yields immature actions and choices. So if we're not speaking correctly, understanding correctly, thinking correctly, guess what that type of immature actions or speaking, understanding, and thinking are going to produce? It's going to produce immature actions and immature choices. Now, the Lord wants us, church, to stop being childish and immature in our lives so that we can use what God has given us, the gifts God has given us, so that He can use those gifts to reach people and minister to people and get the gospel to a lost and dying world. You know, I don't know very many childish believers that have ever been used of God to do much of anything because of some of the things that we're going to look at tonight, because of the way that they approach things and the way that they think. Now, let me stop and say one thing here. Did you know there is something in the Bible that Jesus okayed in us to act like a child about? Now, he said, there's a lot of things I want you to stop acting childish. But there's one thing that he said, I want you to act like a child about. Anybody want to help me out? What did he tell us? Faith. We're supposed to act like a child when it comes to faith. Oh, by the way, also incorporated that, we're also to act like a child when it comes to forgiveness. Okay? Children are amazing how they forgive easily. And so there's things that are incorporated here that the Lord says, I want you to act like a child in some areas. So when it comes to our speech, understanding, and thinking, we're to be mature, and maturity usually comes from several things. Church, let me give them to you, and I'll move on to the message. Here they are. Proper diet of God's Word. Okay? A proper diet of the Word of God. Did you know this book right here can literally change the way you talk? Did you know this book right here can actually change the way you understand things? It can actually change the way you think about certain things, about certain people. It can actually change the way you think about your God, about your Savior, and about your church, and about one another. You see, folks, listen, I'm convinced that a lot of the reasons that we speak improperly, speak immaturely, and think immaturely is because we're not in the Word of God. There's not a steady diet of the Word of God. You know, Brother and Mrs. Green's little baby, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give that child a steady and balanced diet. Why? Because it needs to in order to grow. It needs it to mature. And so shall we also need a diet of God's Word. Number two, there must be a proper exercise of God's will. Do you know, I'm going to guess probably 90% or plus people in here know what God's will is for your life. What I want to know is, are you doing it? It's not that we don't know what it is. I want to know, are you doing it? You see, part of maturity is not only a proper diet of the Word of God, but also proper exercise of God's will. Now, most of you are like me. I have a treadmill at home. I have a Nordic machine at home, And man, I'm telling you, they're wonderful sitting, and they make incredible clothes hangers. They make incredible storage areas. And so all of these things, hey guys in the sound room, I can hear you down here. Psst. Okay, everybody can hear you talking. Okay, thank you. And so what I'm saying is that that treadmill and that Nordic machine makes a wonderful, wonderful clothes hanger and storage area. Problem is, that's not what it's designed for. Now, I wish I'd get on those things a little bit more. I need to, I promise you. But what I'm saying is I need more exercise. I need more exercise in order to stay in shape. And may I say that we need more exercise in order to stay in shape in God's will. And then number three, not only do we need a proper diet of God's Word and a proper exercise of God's will, but may I say number three, we need proper experience of God's ways. See, some of us, the reason that we are still a little bit immature is because we experienced a whole lot when it comes to God's ways of operation. Because see, God's ways are not, and His thoughts are not. And so sometimes we need to get involved in the experience of God's way of doing things. You see, we talked about it a little bit Sunday night. I threw out there some things, and one of these days I'll preach on this a few Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. There's so many paradoxes in the Bible. You know, God's way of getting is to, you know, the reason that some people may not have is because they don't do much giving. God says, you want, you give. I told you the story of how our secondborn was paid in full because my wife and I gave. I heard a preacher say, listen, you want God to take care of you? You want Him to provide your needs? You give to get. I thought, man, that doesn't even make sense. But I practiced it. You know what God said? See there? That's the way it operates. So you know what some of us need if we're going to gain maturity? We just need some experience in the ways of God. Now, listen, folks, listen carefully. God wants to put you through the school of hard knocks, but some of us refuse to walk through the door. Some of us, we say, no, I'm not going to that university. I'm not going to that school. And God says, that's the way of experience. And we sometimes back away from it. So those are some ways that you can reach maturity. Now, the scriptural terminology that's used, if we're going to reach this area and have a proper diet of the Word, proper exercise, proper experience, God uses a word I want you to look at. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 13 and go to Romans chapter 12. This is one of most everybody's favorite verse. Go to Romans chapter 12. And verse number one, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, listen to this now, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice verse two, and be not conformed to this world. Stop. The scripture says, okay, if we're not to be conformed to this world, then that means God's trying to conform us to something else, right? If He doesn't want us to be conformed to the world, I wonder what He wants us to be conformed to. The image of His Son. Okay, so that's what He's trying to conform us to. But notice this is an important word. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, does your Bible say transform? Underline that word. That word transform means a change of heart in which the disposition becomes conformed to the image of Christ. He said there must be a transforming take place. You know what, Brother and Mrs. Raley? That little old grandbaby, just a day old, I'm telling you, you're going to blink and she's going to be 15. And you're going to think, where did the time go? Listen, I've got a 6-year-old granddaughter. It seems like she just born 2 days ago. She's already 6 years old. Going on, I'm a lot older than that. But you know what? There will be a transforming process that will take place. You see, little Kristen will not stay an infant all of her life. Okay? It's natural to grow. Can I say to you, believers in Christ, it's natural for us to grow. It is unnatural for us not to grow. and for us not to mature. So what has to take place? There has to be a transformation. Listen, there cannot be a confirmation until there is a transformation within the believer. The little butterfly one day was a caterpillar that was just crawling along a limb one day. But can I say, you know what? Inside that caterpillar, there's always been the heart of a butterfly. And one day he decided, you know what? I think it's time to be what God has designed me to be. So he cocooned up. Oh, by the way, did you know that there is a necessary time of cocooning in order to become a butterfly? You see, he wasn't just walking along the limb one day and all of a sudden went and just started flying. That don't happen. You know what had to take place? A transformation. And then the heart of a butterfly, he was conformed to the image of the butterfly. After a time of cocooning, after a time of quiet time, after a time of development. And folks, listen to me. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to get beyond the caterpillar stage, the childish behavior. Now, our desire should be to speak like Jesus. Remember when Jesus spoke? Two times, I believe it is in Scripture. The Scripture says, no man spake like this man. Nobody spake like Jesus spake. So our desire ought to be to speak like Jesus. Can I say, number two, we ought to want to understand like Jesus. Well, I read the story of Mary and Martha. Remember Mary and Martha come after Lazarus' death? And you remember they finally come to Bethany and they run out. Where you been? I'm using common day. But they said, Lord, where you been? If you'd have been there, he wouldn't have died. Listen, Jesus stayed an extra day so he would die. But you know what? Why he said he allowed Lazarus to die? To glorify God. You see, so he was, but listen, did Jesus, when they ran to him and said, where have you been? He said, listen, get out of my face. Don't get in my face. No, you know what he said? He understood. He understood why they felt that way. They didn't understand that he was doing this to glorify God. Can I say that when he met the woman at the well in Samaria, did you know he understood? Matter of fact, he already told her she'd been married 5 times, the guy she's living with, wasn't even her husband, which proves that living together ain't right. Amen, preacher. Just want to throw that in there. Even Jesus said it wasn't right. Okay? Now, all I'm saying to you is that he understood all the problems of the woman at the well, but you know what he still said to her? You drink of this water, you will never thirst again. He understood her. Can I say also, on the shore of Galilee, when he looked out there and saw those old boys led by the Apostle Peter, who, by the way, was out there fishing naked. Boy, isn't that amazing? Went from an apostle walking with Jesus, now he's out there fishing with hardly a stitch of clothing on. And you know what Jesus hollered? Have ye any meat? Well, of course not. Who is that? Can I remind you that he came looking for them? They didn't go looking for him. Did you know he went to the Sea of Galilee because he understood their discouragement? He understood, you know what? He understood how they felt when they thought, you know what? It's all over. It's all over. But he understood. You know what? We just need to not only speak like Jesus, we need to understand like Jesus. And then tonight, I want to cover the last thing. We need to think like Jesus. You know what? His entire life's ministry had one goal in mind. Not just to seek and to save that which was lost, but to glorify who? The Father. That was his main, that was always on his mind. So he was here to glorify the Father and to minister to others. Well, let's look at some things real quick here and let's finish this thing up. Paul said, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and he said, I thought as a child. You know the thought, go ahead and be turning to Psalm 119 if you would please, 165. While you're turning there, can I say that the thought process of a child is radical and undisciplined, and his ability to formulate and reason in his mind is limited to his immaturity? He's limited. Now, Paul said, I thought as a child. Are you there in Psalm 119 and 165? Psalm 119, verse 165. Are you ready? Here we go. Great peace have they which love thy law. What's the law? Great peace have they that love this book, that know this book, that read this book, that understand this book, that speaks the language of this book. Listen now. And nothing. Does that mean nothing? Nothing shall offend them. You say, what does that have to do with childish behavior and thinking like a child? I want to say, first of all, number one, a child is easily offended. If you don't believe that, check them out lately. Say something about their hair, their nails, their shoes, their clothes, and the next thing you get is this. They're easily offended. They get their feelings hurt easily. And normally, can I say to you, that usually when a child gets easily offended, it's the reason is because they wear their feelings on their sleeves. They can't discern between what's real and what's not. That's the reason, and I'm guilty of this as well. You kid around with kids, you know, and sometimes they don't know whether I'm serious or not. And unfortunately, I've had to go apologize to parents because I made some kids cry. Busted out crying, I'm just kidding, man, I'm just kidding. And they run off, and I have to go apologize to the parents and say, listen, I'm just kidding. You know? I was just picking around with them, and I upset them. And you know why? Because the kid couldn't discern whether the preacher was which way. You know why? Because they were a child. Their ability to discern the difference wasn't there. That's the reason, folks, that, listen, when people get easily offended, it's a sign of immaturity in their Christian life. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeves. You know, some people say, well, he's got a chip on my shoulder. You know what chips on the shoulder are made for? To be knocked off. Don't wear a chip on your shoulder. And listen, don't be easily offended. Kids many times will wear their feelings on their sleeves, or they can't discern between what's real and what's not. And listen, they don't handle stress and crisis very well. Many times, if they're not careful, immaturity comes out in a crisis time, and we begin to make decisions. Remember I told you last week, I read an article about how many children die each year in house fires, which most of them are started by the child itself. Do you remember I told you in an article they said that normally when the fire starts, what did they say the kid goes and does? They go hide. The house is burning, they go hide under a bed. Or they go lock themselves in the closet, and the house burns down with them in it. Why? Their inability to understand. They didn't have the ability to understand that, you know what? A closet or under the bed's not going to save you. They don't handle stress and crisis very well. Many times, a child takes everything at face value. That's the reason you got to be careful. And by the way, you walk around your Christian life long enough, you know those who are mature and those who are immature, and what you can say and what you cannot say. But can I say that if you fall into the category of immature tonight, have a desire to grow and reach a place that, you know what? Listen, folks, you can just about do anything. You're going to have a hard time offending me. You can make me mad, but you're going to have a hard time offending. You know, I've heard, I don't know how many, Dr. Smith, I'm going to say probably thousands and thousands of sermons. And you know, even as a young Christian, I can't ever remember being offended at a message, because I found out when I read the Bible that what the preacher said was right about me. Huh? Yeah. About my thought life. About my actions. About all the things. And I thought to myself, you know, huh, is that right? Read my, oh boy, he is right. That is me. And so all I'm saying to you, church, tonight, is that a child sometimes is very easy. They take everything at face value. They neither consider the circumstances, listen now, or the spirit in which something is said. They don't realize sometimes that things are said in jest, or things are said in fun. They take everything personally. Here's the second thing. Number two, go to Philippians chapter 2. I said, first of all, a child or a Christian, a believer that is immature in the Lord is easily offended. Look at Philippians chapter 2. The second thing I want to bring to your attention tonight is this. A child thinks only about himself. If there's the last piece of chicken on the plate, he's getting it. If there's only that much left in the tea jug, they want it. That's you know what it's a sign? It's a sign of childish. It's a sign of immaturity. They think many times only about themselves. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Are you there? And verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of, that's humility, let each esteem other better how? Than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of. Now listen to this. Let this mind be where? In you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I said earlier, not only do we need to speak like Jesus, understand like Jesus, we need to think like Jesus. And he said, let this mind, what's that mind that he's talking about here? A humble mind and a mind where we have others, can we consider others and their feelings and their needs before our own. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, children are very possessive. You say, is that right? Yeah, they're very possessive. We got Christmas time coming up. Try to take their gift from them. It ain't happening. That's mine. See whose name is on there? It's not your name, it's my name. That's mine. Children are very possessive. Listen to a kid, many times, you know what they'll say? That's my bike. This is my room. Like they're making the house payment. This is mine, mine, mine. Wait a minute. Time out now. Listen to some adults sometimes. This is my Sunday school class. This is my this and my that. Careful now. None of this belongs to any of us. This is all belongs to the Lord. We just have the opportunity to exercise our worship around these items here. Nothing, not one paperclip belongs to anybody here. It all belongs to the Lord. We have to be stewards over it. And if we're not careful, adults, you know what? We get into the place of mine. Remember I told you the story not too long ago when I bought that Tundra pickup out there? Hey, I gave that to the Lord. It's not mine. Now, sometimes I catch myself saying it's my pickup and stuff, but it's not really mine. It's the Lord's. Y'all go out there and look at what one of those teenagers did to the side of my truck. Gashed the side of my truck. It's all right. I asked them to load some things. They didn't quite make it up. Gash! You say, what'd you do? I thought, man, Lord, look what them teenagers did to your truck. You know which one it was. What do you want me to do to them? No, I didn't ask that. But you know what? You say, did you get bent out of shape? I went, golly, man, I hate that happen. But you know what? I took a half a baby aspirin and went on. You know what? Well, Carlos, come on, you mean tell me I'm going to get upset over a dent in a truck while people are dying and going to hell? You see, you know what? If I'd have thrown a fit, rolled on the floor, went after that teenager, you know what I would have proved? How immature I was. That's not how you handle it. You see, children think many times about themselves. They're very possessive. Children make decisions based on how much they will benefit from the outcome. Amen. That's how they make decisions. What's in it for me? And listen, you really want to show immaturity big time? Come to church and say, what can the church do for me? No. It ought to be, what can you do for the church? Let me get a little more personal. What have you done for the church? You see, many times people come and they want the church to do everything for them. My question is, what have you done for the church? What have you done for Jesus? And so all I'm saying to you, you know what it is? It's a sign. It's an outcry of where we are in our Christian life and our relationship to the book. Children have little concern for the effort of others so they can be cared for. You know what they want? They want the last piece of chicken. Why? Because they're hungry. And if it comes down to me being hungry or them being hungry, they're going to let them be hungry. It's just childishness. But folks, are you following each application of what I'm saying tonight? We've got to get out of this mind frame. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about others. It's about people for whom Christ died. Children many times think only about themselves. Listen, ungratefulness is a good term to describe the spirit of most children. This is bred by the spirit of no concept of the labor involved for their well-being. You know, I wonder how many kids in here woke up this morning, went to dad and thanked him for working hard so that they have a place to live. I wonder how many kids woke up this morning and went to their father and said, thank you for your hard work so that I can have clothes to wear, food to eat, place to live. And some of you teenagers that have cell phones and cars, I wonder when's the last time you thanked your parents, say thank you for working hard so that I could have that. Now, is there any way you can pay the insurance? When's the last time we do that? You know why many times that doesn't happen? Because we're ungrateful. Ungratefulness is a sign of immaturity. We've got to grow. We've got to be more grateful to the people who care for us. All right, quickly, let's move on. We got two more real quick. Here's number three. A child has the everybody's out to get me attitude. You ever notice that? When I was a kid, you said, you ain't much past, I understand that, but when I was younger than what I am now, some of you guys know what it is. You know, you're just sitting there and somebody bumped you. It's like they bumped you on purpose. You're like, what? You doing, man? Do I get them or knock your head off? He's like, man, that was an accident. No, it wasn't. Did it on purpose. And listen, I had two other brothers. I had an older brother and a younger brother. In the same house, listen, when you got that many boys in the house, everything's done on purpose. Okay? There ain't no such thing as an accident. It's all done on purpose. And you know why we thought that way? Because we were kids. It's like everybody's out to get me attitude. Folks, listen. There's one person. Actually, there's two people out to get you. First of all, the devil's out to get you. Because he's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But can I also say to you tonight that Jesus is out to get you also? And you're going to make the choice on who's going to catch you and who's going to get your life and who you're going to serve with the rest of your life. But can I say to you, there's nobody in this room out to get you. You see, everybody is, that children think that everything that's done is done purposely to hurt them. They don't consider that people actually do make mistakes. Amen. Anybody make a mistake today? I think about 100% of us have. Aren't you glad that somebody didn't rip your head off because you made a mistake? That somebody had a little bit of grace? That somebody had a little bit of mercy and understanding? You see, a child many times, they don't carry that. They see it as everything's done on purpose. You see, they're ready to lash back at anybody that doesn't agree with them. They're easily deceived many times by Satan into thinking nobody cares about them. So it's every man for himself. You know what this? All that is, folks, it's all signs of immaturity. So be careful, because how you respond and how you act may be telling everybody where you are in your Christianity. Let me give you one more. A child thinks he will never get caught for wrong. A kid never thinks, listen, why do you think they keep doing the same thing over and over? Because they don't ever think they're going to get caught. They always leave tracks. Always. Whether it's chocolate on the mouth from eating the chocolate chip cookies, whether it's Dr. Smith powder prints on the floor, they always leave evidence. They always leave tracks. And so what I'm saying is a child, and listen, may I say, an immature believer will continue to live a lifestyle out of the will of God, thinking they'll never get caught for it or never come into accountability for it. But you will. You will one day.
So I hope, church, that you'll take these things tonight in the study that we've had on Wednesday night. Again, let me remind you, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like one. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But then he said, you know what? When I became a man, what did he do? He ushered out childish things. So the entire application is simply this. When I was immature, I spake immaturely, I understood immaturely, and I thought immaturely. But when I got right with God, and when I got a steady diet of the book, when I got steady exercise in God's will for my life, and when I got some experience in the ways of God, you know what I became? Mature. And guess what I did? Bye-bye, childish things. They're gone. And you know what? That way, you don't wear your feelings on your sleeves anymore. No chips on the shoulder. I mean, man, you can have... Listen, somebody cracks a joke about you. You know what? Laugh. That's good. You go home and think more about them. Listen, I went hunting with several of our men at church. We had a good time. We took some teenagers. Brother Wilson is always... I love it, though, because he is our official terrorist on the hunt. He has a lot of fun with these teenage boys. But, you know, it's all in good fun. Brother Danny, they didn't hurt your feelings, did they? And you know what? All the teenage boys that were with us, they loved it. They didn't come back going, "You hurt my feelings." They loved it. I mean, they shot spit wads at him. I mean, just amazing. But we had fun, didn't we? And nobody was offended. And can I say, that's the way it ought to be. Folks, it's all right. We need to learn to laugh at ourselves. You know, we're pretty funny individuals and creatures. Learn to laugh at yourself. You know what it can be? It could be a sign that you're growing in the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? How many can say, "Preacher, I'm saved, no question about it. I'm a child of God." Slip your hand way up high. Say, "I'm a born-again believer, and I'm proud of it." Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, my prayer tonight is simply that you would have your way in this invitation. Thank you for what we have learned these last several weeks. And just some areas about growing up in the Lord. And Father, that's what you want. You want mature believers that can take on mature responsibilities to do something for God. And Father, I realize that in this building tonight are many people at all levels of faith. Now, I ask that you would please grow us, continue to mature us, that we might get past childish behavior and begin to speak maturely, understand maturely, and think maturely for Christ. And I believe, Lord, if we'll reach those places, people and lives can be transformed. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there might be one here tonight